Hi, everyone.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Too Niche.
This is the podcast where we pick a topic, we haul it to death, and you are entertained by it.
So they say.
So they say. I'm Laura.
I'm Elizabeth. Before we get started, there's an update on what I had mentioned last year was my Roman Empire for 2023, and I am still haunted by this revelation. Has anybody else watched the Lifetime two-night event of Where is Wendy Williams?
I've not engaged because I have enough like addiction journeys in my timeline currently. So I'm just like taking a breather for now. But I am really sad for her.
I found myself watching this and being in complete shock that it made it to air.
Do you think she gets paid from it?
I think that that's the only reason why they ended up airing it, because her and her son are both named as producers on it in the credits. And there is some money issues with the bank freezing her funds, Wells Fargo. And
taxes?
It's a little murky in the documentary, but how they explain it is that they felt like she was mismanaging her funds, but then how the family describes it is that she just lives this lavish lifestyle and likes to fly private and likes to support her son, was paying his rent, which was like $80K a year, and all those things that to me sounded just like rich people, what they do for their offspring. Like, it didn't seem too nefarious, which is why something fell off to me in that.
But her show's ended and she doesn't have any money coming in, and there's just nothing but money going out. I can see why people would be like, you need to stop, or someone has to stop this, because this woman is sick and is going to end up on the streets.
Right. And so then the documentary started under the guise that it was like road to Bundy starting her podcast or getting a new TV show. The producers and film crew show up and then realize that she is in the throes of alcoholism, as well as what they didn't realize at the time, but is revealed like months and months into production, that she was diagnosed with dementia. And it is shocking what they show.
Now, I kind of want to watch, but I feel like it's going to make me so depressed.
It will. Like, I watched it this weekend and it sat with me all day yesterday. There's a scene with Blac Chyna.
I saw screenshots of that, of Angela hugging Wendy.
Truly made me cry. I'm sobbing on my iPad in my pirated Lifetime Xfinity app, sobbing at Blac Chyna and Wendy and this exchange, because the way they set it up in the doc is a lot of these people hadn't seen Wendy in some time. So they interviewed these people before they witness Wendy in her current state. And it's her niece. And her niece, who is a television reporter in Florida, who her and Wendy obviously have a very tight bond. And they're like, what are you looking forward to seeing Wendy? And she says, you know, she always gives me a hug. She always wears these glamorous robes. I'm just looking forward to just seeing her, and her saying, like, there's food in the fridge, help yourself, and that sort of thing. And the niece walks in and Wendy barely acknowledges her and is trying to like fuss with the television. And it is so sad because the cameras are present. Wendy is just a shell of herself. And it's so heartbreaking.
This production crew needs to be jailed for that. That is really sick.
I cannot believe this thing aired, first and foremost.
I mean, it seems kind of like, I feel like if you're a celebrity who has been making a lot of money and then suddenly that stream of income just completely vanishes, and you're also really ill, and also on top of an illness have another diagnosis that is like incurable, you probably are scrambling to get some sort of paycheck to cover the overhead of whatever, right, like medical costs or like lifestyle shit.
So completely.
I see why you'd just be like, fine, just do it. But it's also like, what the fuck? Like, they basically like punked every, it sounds like they punked everyone, all of her loved ones, with her as like the bait.
And then there's this PR person who's in her life who is the description of an enabler, takes her to Los Angeles, sets up a meeting for with NBC Universal for Wendy, takes her to lunch beforehand, and Wendy has two cocktails. Meanwhile, Wendy doesn't know what the Academy Awards are anymore. Like, I am in disbelief around this entire thing, and also so sad because, as I said, years and years the biggest Wendy fan, and it is so sad, but I don't know. Just had to address that at the top of the show.
Damn, this is truly like the end of, like, this has to, this like can't keep happening, this sort of like exploitative shit.
I agree. I was just in disbelief as that this was on. Wendy in her right mind would never want to be portrayed in this light. I believe that.
Yeah, and also, like, how, like, ethically are you willing to, like, do that to someone? Like, as a producer being like, this is a great idea. Like, we're going to lure in people that haven't seen her that really care about her and then keep cameras rolling as we shock them with the truth. It's truly depraved.
They mention the reason for continuing with filming in an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, and they said that they were afraid if the cameras weren't there, then she would like truly go down a path that couldn't come back from. Like, she loves that part of her so much. Like, she talks about constantly, I'm a celebrity, I'm famous. It's like the only time where she sort of drops back into an old Wendy energy is when people recognize her. It is so mind-blowing. But, like, I also just think that the fact that it was aired was sinister.
Yeah, like, you would think that they would just be like, look, we're going to can this and take the tax credit. I don't know. It's really dark.
Dark. Speaking of dark.
We have a dark haul for you today, but also an educational dark haul, because we are talking about scams.
This is a personal corner of the internet that I've found myself very fascinated by. It's known as the subreddit scams. And over the past 9 months or so, I've become really keeping my eye out on what's happening out there. I myself have been scammed before.
Do tell.
It was, I guess, not like a classic internet scam like we're going to talk about today, but somebody stole my identity. And how I found this out was at the beginning of 2020, she who shall not be named, I got a letter in the mail from a law firm that said I was being sued because of a car accident that happened on such and such a date, and it was really scary. I was like, oh shit. And then I looked at the date. I was like, wait, I was out of town on this date. And then I was able to reach out to the insurance company to get a scan of the ID that was shown at the accident. The accident happened at Crescent Heights and Melrose in West Hollywood. And the ID was this like blonde woman who was 5'7", but it was my name and my address, but just one, like the street name was misspelled to a street that doesn't exist. And somehow it got routed to me. Whoa. The mess that it, and the hours and the conversations and the letters that had to be written to untwist this was truly insane. And since it was during COVID, I had to do like a phone trial. And the woman who, the person who was saying that they were me hit on the trial was like, this one, they were like, can you explain like what the person who hit you, what she looked like? And she's like, she was 5'7". She had blonde hair, basically.
Like, but not, I wasn't, you.
Not me. But the way you respond in these scenarios, like, I couldn't say, well, I'm actually 5 feet and a brunette or anything like that. It was so frustrating. I could only respond in yes and no answers. Anyway, finally was able to untwist it, but it was so spooky and so frustrating. And also just the fact that I was like, couldn't just say, this isn't even my address. This is a different address, but it's coming to me. It was so frustrating and so messy. And also just the fact that they had randomly gotten in a car accident while using an ID with my information on it was spooky.
Yeah, is there some sort of like data leak that then people like farm out IDs to using real people's like addresses or something?
Must be. And then they're like, and then we're going to get in a car accident.
Crazy.
And then fuck this other person over.
I hate that.
I hated it. It was such a mess. It took months to clear up.
I've never been like scammed in that way. I feel like when I first moved to Chicago, I feel like I've only been scammed, like lightly scammed, like 3 times. When I first moved to Chicago, it was my first time ever living in like a big city, and I lived kind of in like the financial district of the city for the first year, and I didn't realize that a popular like panhandler tactic to use would be someone would approach you and be like, do you have like $10? Like, I really need to like make this train or make this bus, and like, I can't make this bus if I don't have this money. And so this woman came up to me and did that to me, and I was like, oh my god, like, totally, like, just wait here, let me go into my apartment and like get you some money. And then I was told later, like, no, that's like a popular way to like get people to just give them money. And I was like, well, okay, they got that one, they earned it,
right? Well, these days the scams have become a bit more sophisticated.
Yeah.
I was doing some stat research, and the Federal Trade Commission shows that consumers reported losing more than $10 billion to fraud in 2023. So it's a $10 billion industry.
Wow.
And that's only the people reporting it.
Oh my God. Well, wow. I got in the wrong industry, so it seems.
So we thought today we're going to go through some popular scams of the current era to heed warning to all, but also call it.
Yeah. Wait, can I share another scam and a warning, like a shopping scam that happened to me recently?
Please.
Okay, so I like to hunt for deals online, and like, if I want to get a pair of like expensive sunglasses in particular, I'll always try and like find them for sale for less on like a website. Some of the, like, there's this now luxury gray market that exists, like on sites like Satir and like the Idealist, where you can find items, luxury accessories and other like fashion items that are full price elsewhere for like 30% off on these sites. And those sites are not a scam, but like the sunglasses might only be, there might be just a few pairs available for that price, and like, it's like your lucky day if you can hit the jackpot. But then there are these other websites that I didn't know about that sell counterfeit sunglasses for half the price of the actual like designer prices. And I lost a pair of Celine sunglasses during my like big home renovation, and I'd really liked them, and I hadn't seen them anywhere for sale for a long time. So I went down a rabbit hole on the internet trying to just like find the make and model. And I thought that I'd found them on this site called Chic Time and then ordered them. And when they arrived, they were clearly like an Alibaba version of the sunglasses. And I was like, what the fuck? So
not Chic Time.
No, it was Chic Time. And I Googled, like, I did some research and I was like, this seems legit. Like, then I started emailing them. I was like, I need to exchange the order. I got like the shipping instructions to send it back. I sent it back. Weeks went by. They never refunded me. And then I kept following up. And finally, I was able to just like contact my credit card and be like, these people scammed me, like give me the money. And they gave me the money back. But then I just wrote a threatening email to Chic Time, letting them know that I did a bunch of things that I didn't do. I said, like, following up again to let you know, I've reported your company to the Federal Trade Commission, the European Anti-Fraud Office, the European Consumer Center for Selling Counterfeit Products. I've also filed reports with the U.S. Border and Customs, as well as French Customs, and have alerted Celine Incorporated to the fact that you're selling counterfeit Celine sunglasses on your website. Good day. So I hope that just scared someone. I hope even if it scared them for like, I just hope one person was really terrified for just 10 seconds. And
somebody
then my work there is
shat
done.
Themselves in their mom's basement somewhere, basically, from that email.
I pray. Just like, all I want is like 10 to 30 seconds of terror. I want a cortisol spike of terror just to deliver a quick hit. And if that's the least that can happen, my job here is done.
At this point, I get a cortisol spike anytime I get an unknown text message.
Oh, yeah.
And after deep diving thoroughly into the scams of the current day, I'm afraid of my phone. In fact, right before we started recording, I got a little scammy scam text. And I think that now with the election, it's really hard to decipher what is an actual bona fide election related text or candidate related text and then who is scamming you. But this one starts with, this is our third time reaching out. A Quinnipiac poll has Biden leading Trump by 4 points, exclamation point. So we're asking again, who do you plan to vote for in November? And then it gives you three different links to choose. And then it's signed the DGA. I don't like, no. First of all, I'm not clicking anything ever via text. This is a big takeaway from this research. But I don't like how threatening it starts. Like, no, don't.
No, someone really needs to teach them like how to finesse and like tone check on text message.
Yep. I don't like it. So I actually, there is a very common fashion-related scam that's happening right now. So I think that's a really good place to start.
Yeah,
it's known as the Hermes scam. And basically, people are buying real Hermes bags or fill in the blank designer bag or item, taking the photos of that original bag, then sending it off to get authenticated. Getting it authenticated, and then they're having that bag remade with the same serial number and all of the information that goes along with a hefty designer purchase like that, posting the authentication, the QR code, all the things that go along with having a verified designer piece online, and then sending the replica once somebody purchases it. But they have the authentication that goes along with it. So people are getting fakes under the guise of being authenticated real bags. And this is happening a lot.
What are the websites where this is taking place?
I think that it's classic eBay. I mean, I think it's on all of them at this point. You just have to be so, so careful.
I would never buy like a high ticket luxury item such as an Hermes bag from a website where I couldn't like look at it first. Like I would only really feel comfortable going into like a secondhand store or into Hermes proper and getting the bag from their hands into mine.
Right.
I'm obsessed though with the like return scams that are happening right now. And it seems that like Saks Fifth Avenue is the mark where all these scams take place. Like someone just identified like, oh, the Saks return team does not give a shit. And like people will order like a Totem jacket and that's like $1,000, get the jacket, then be like, oh, I don't like this. I'm going to return it and return a knockoff version of that jacket or knockoff of the shoes they ordered or whatever. Like the DHgate version, they'll return it to Saks and it doesn't pass through any sort of quality control. And then someone else will order the jacket from Saks and then receive the knockoff that was previously returned and not screened. That's kind of smart. I like when the person that's suffering is a corporation, I'm less inclined to like be mad about the scam.
Sure. As somebody who worked retail for a very long time, they don't really equip you to do the quality checks when doing a return.
But they don't even hire people that like know.
Like, I mean, one would hope that if you're working at a designer store, you would have these skills to be able to double check if a piece is actually the correct piece. But so often, and I speak from experience, you're just there and you're like, it doesn't matter to you as the employee if
you're not being paid enough to care.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the real, that's like definitely what it seems to be the state of retail. Like Saks, I did a field trip to Saks Beverly Hills because they had like reopened in the old Barney's building.
May she rest.
And I just wanted to see what the vibe was. And the vibe is cursed. It's like, I don't get why these stores even exist because they don't carry anything. They don't carry like a good inventory anymore. So you can't even get like a well curated or like interesting selection of clothes to peruse.
Agree.
And they don't carry enough sizes. So like, unless you're an extra small or something, chances are they probably won't have your size, but then they'll give you the option to like order it online. And you're like, why would I want to do that? That I came to the store to like engage in the act of shopping. But you also just get the sense you're like, these people have no idea what they're even doing here.
I mean, I would even say that.
And it's actually really dystopian.
This whole dystopian energy, peasant era peak that we're in at the moment. Who knows if it's the peak? I don't think it's the peak, but
no,
you know what
I'm
saying.
It's just the beginning.
Yeah. Is the precipice for all these scams. Like things are so dire that this is the way people think they have to go. And they're getting really fucking creative.
That's just so much work to like get the bag, then get the replica made. Like by that time, I'm like, this is no, I've lost interest.
Yeah, but they're probably pulling in like upwards of 10K, if not more. You're not making that much behind the register at Saks.
That's true.
Like a tumbleweed blowing in an early spring wind, Sexy Unique Podcast is back on tour with a brand new show. An immersive musical comedy erotic spectacular that will debut on February 25th in L.A. Los Angeles.
Yeehaw! Then, what in tarnation? Carrie and I will be hitting the dusty trails, parking our steeds in Oklahoma City on March 1st. Then, on to the Lone Star State for two shows, Dallas-Fort Worth on March 2nd and Austin, Texas, March 4th.
Us cowgirls are ready to lay down the law, so come get in line because it's time to two-step.
Giddy up on over to sexyuniquepodcast.com right now and get your tickets while they're still hotter in Hades. That's sexyuniquepodcast.com for tickets for the Texas tour.
This brings us to one of my favorites, something that's happened to me. It's known as sextortion. Classic porn scam.
You've been sextorted?
Attempted.
No.
Luckily, I had my wits about me and I knew not to engage. Okay. But this happened like way back when I used Facebook. So like 12 years ago or so. I got a DM that was something to the tune of, your computer's been hacked with malware, like using all these tech terms. And I was able to see the porn sites that you looked up. Not only did I see the porn you looked up, but I had a reverse camera on you that then showed what you were doing while you were watching that porn. And if you don't pay me $7,000, I'm going to send it to all of your contacts and all your Facebook friends.
I've gotten this email before too.
It's actually, I love like the psychology that it latches onto.
Yeah. I think if you're like a teenager, like that would hit really hard. If I think it's like if you're a teenager from a very specific type of like family, you would be shaking in your boots. But I was just like lolling.
For a second, I was needed to decipher what reality was. And then I was like, oh, this is a scam.
You can always tell, because here's the thing is like, I'm such a sucker for like and a stickler perfectionist for grammar and spelling. So when anything grammatically is like off, or if the tone is off, or a lot of many times I think these scammers are in foreign countries and you can kind of tell because they'll write a sentence that does not, that's like almost English, but just not quite there. And that's when I always know, I'm like, oh, this is a scammer. Like people don't talk like this in America. So I would say to any scammers who are listening in foreign countries right now, if you're ready to hire someone to consult for, you know, $20,000 a month, reach out. I can help you compose emails. I can teach you how people talk. I talk for a living.
Don't tell them about ChatGPT.
Yeah. I'm ready to help you get better at tone checking.
That's a beautiful service.
Yeah. That's my scam to the scammers.
Maybe you could say, don't start with a threatening, this is the third time we've been reaching out.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's you're not going to get into someone's good graces by immediately startling them.
No. And you know what? We have to go back to the classic American saying, you win more flies with honey than vinegar.
That's right. Well, that's what this big one is. The pig butchering scam that Toonish effect always fucking happens. As I was putting together this list, turned John Oliver on last night. And what is it about? Pig butchering scams. Lauren and I plan out our shows, and we decided on this topic like 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And John Oliver just synced right up with Toonish and did an amazing deep dive into these. They're called pig butchering scams, but they're also known as crypto romance scams. Basically, somebody's going to text you and it's going to be like so out of pocket, something so random that it's going to make you want to respond. Engage. Like I've gotten one that's like, hey, Sarah, I'll be there really quick. I'm really soon. I'm so sorry I'm running late. Like, start without me. So that somebody's then like, oh, sorry, I'm not Sarah. Like it's something that kind of triggers the emotion of wanting to respond back. And you had just gotten one of these.
I just got one of these, but I've gotten these before where it's like you write back and you're like, sorry, wrong number. And they go, oh, I'm sorry. Like my name's XOXO. Like want to get together for like coffee sometime, or like I'm really wanting to make new friends. How's your life? And you're like, what the fuck? Like, why the fuck are you texting me? Like, I just go, I'd hate texting people back. So like them getting me to, like a true stranger getting me to engage via text is like, good luck to you.
Right, but I think they're 98% of people are in a place of good luck to you, but then there's that 2% of people who
just love to
are craving connection or feel lonely or something, and all of a sudden, like, there's like kindness coming in from a stranger. So it's called pig butchering because the idea is you're fattening up the pig before you butcher them. So it's this long con of texting, and then it turns into some sort of money grab, like way into the scam, way into the connection. But the thing is that these are, and John Oliver got into it really beautifully, so I want everyone to watch it. But basically, these are like run by mobsters, and these people are being forced to have these text exchanges, which I really can't think of any worse.
There's nothing worse. No. Being forced to text strangers all day and engage like in long text conversations with like a get to know you is honestly my worst nightmare. I'd be like, kill me now. Take my whole family out. Like, I just want this to end.
But this is a huge one. So just be aware of anybody telling you they'll be there in 15 minutes or whatever the case may be.
Here's the one. You want me to read the one I got
Please.
A few days ago? I got this over the weekend. Hi, Kathy. I heard that you were a famous designer. I have a charity gala next month. Could you design a formal suit? Do you have time for us to chat? We look forward to cooperation.
That last line, not American.
The bitch in me, I said, absolutely not. You are not American. And I am not a designer. And I knew also, I was like, this has all the hallmarks of manipulation. We heard you're a famous designer, first and foremost.
Catch you in. Yep.
I have a charity gala next month. Ooh, a good cause. Ooh,
I'm in Samaritan.
A gala, you say? Oh, I'm dying to go to a gala. Can you design a formal suit? Do you have time to chat? Then I was like, you text this person back and then they like talk to you about the gala. And I bet that's the way into like getting you like a ticket to the gala or something.
And it's
like
charity.
That. I know. I was like, you can't, Oof. You truly can't get me.
Nope. Another one that I get a lot is the Norton LifeLock scam. Have you ever gotten this? So you'll get, and I have a spare email address that I rarely use, that when I go in to check, I have multiple of these just waiting in my inbox.
Always get these like in spam or something like that.
So basically you'll get an email where it says like your Norton LifeLock subscription renewal has taken place. We've charged your account however much for the renewal. It's like $300 and some. There's an invoice with it. And then it will say, please call this number if you have any questions. And they basically, if you then call the number to cancel or refund this subscription, they then will somehow gain remote access to your device under the guise of resolving the issue. And then they'll wipe out your account.
I love that. Yeah, I was going to say they would be like confirming payment details or something like that.
It's like, you've been charged.
Make sure, yeah, like we just need to make sure like this is your correct credit card number, or like this is your correct wire number or something.
Or it'll be like a PayPal receipt or something like that. And obviously, I think we all know this, but the trick is look at the email address of like what it really is. Like right click that email address. And if it says like info@NortonLifeLock as the email, but then you look and it's like a bunch of numbers and letters and so wild.
It's also like, sorry, that's a PC owner problem. I'm a MacBook girl. We don't do like Norton.
Right. True. True, true,
but
true.
But I will get like PayPal invoices or like invoices sent to me a lot that are like, thank you so much, like, for your payment. And it's like trying to get me to engage.
Can I tell you one of my favorite ones from this list that was recently in the New York Post?
What?
So a girl's on a dating app and matches with a guy.
This was a really good one.
The guy then says, can I take you out? Can you meet me at such and such restaurant? Day of, the guy who asked the woman out confirms, said, just confirming tonight, we're meeting at this restaurant. Great. See you there. Girl shows up to the restaurant. He doesn't show up. She looks on her dating app. She's unmatched with the guy. She's like, what the hell? Well, I'm here. I might as well order a drink, order some food. I got all ready to go out. I guess I'll just stay and eat. The guy ends up being the restaurant, posing as a person to get customers in the door.
Damn.
Times are grim.
That is, I was thinking in the back, I was like, I'll bet it's just the restaurant. That is intense.
I hate that.
Yeah, I don't like that either. Especially targeting women, that's smart of them, because it's like you did get all dressed up and went through this whole process. So then to just like give up and go home, it's like probably 70% of the time you're going to be like, fine, I'll just stay. Because you have a reservation or whatever, and you're like, that is rude. Do it to the man. Their men probably wouldn't stay.
I know. I think there's something about a woman, like the effort that it takes to like leave the house.
Effort it takes, and then also just being like having a reservation at like a seemingly like nice restaurant. Did it out the restaurant that's doing this?
It didn't say. Okay, which then, I wish they would have.
Yeah, what a worthless, like, are you, then you're just, what, how are we supposed to know then? You're just supposed to be like, well, I guess I'll get ready, but if that happens to me, I won't eat and I'll just go home. Fuck.
Another one that this was actually the impetus for the haul, and I just really loved this one because it's creative. So a woman posts on like Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case may be, a really specific call out for a sperm donor. It says all these various traits that she's looking for is really clear that her mother and her brother are going to help take care of the kid. It's purely for sperm, no connection needed. All of these people show up in her DMs saying,
doesn't she say my friend is looking for some, my friend is looking for a sperm donor, or it was I'm looking for a sperm donor?
I think it was I'm.
Oh, okay.
But either way, either would work.
Like posting, I thought it was like posting a photo of like her really hot friend being like, she's looking for a sperm donor, like blah blah blah.
Oh, could be. Either way, you get tens of, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 people in your DMs wanting more information, interested in the position, let's call it. And then she says, great, I just need you to take a DNA test to like match these specificities of what I'm looking for. So she sends them a link of a 23andMe test. Bitch gets $20 for every person that uses her link for the 23andMe.
That's smart. It's also kind of genius because the way that it's posed, especially like the one that I saw that got sent out on Twitter/X, is like pretty racist, being like, the person, you have to be white in order to do this. Like, my friend like only wants like a white sperm donor. So then it's like targeting these kind of incel guys already. And then it's being like, you have to take this, I don't believe you, so you have to take this DNA test to prove to me that you're white. And then, of course, like a racist guy is going to be like, yes, I will do anything. And then the scam works and no one really gets hurt because then they just know they get like a fun little DNA test too.
Right. True. It's a win-win. I wonder though if there's like a cap on, because usually it's like you can get $20 for every test you get up to $200 or something like that. But apparently not if this is happening the way it is. It's a once in a while scam.
Back to like the sextortion of it all. There was like a scam going on for a while where women would engage in like conversations in chat rooms or just over Craigslist or something. You like engage in conversation with a man, you like specifically search out a man who's like married or has kids, and you like butter him up and like get him horny or whatever, and then get him to send all these like sexually explicit photos of himself, and then you turn it around on him and you're like, now that I have these, I'm literally gonna send them to your wife, like, you, if you don't give me like $1,000. And this was happening a lot. Like, women would go, they would go through like hide their IP addresses, and you could just go post up at Starbucks and like farm for like,
smart.
Yeah. I was like, God, if I really like had that time and energy, that would be a great option.
The time, energy, and loose moral compass.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'm like, oh, I wish I just didn't have the believing in karma as much as I do.
I'm too much of a sensitive soul.
Yeah, same. I could never. But like, honestly,
there's a side of me that's like, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so this other one that I wanted to talk about is more of an idea, a broad stroke scammer idea. Well, actually, there's two, and they both involve the Kardashians. So everybody buckle up. First of all, I want to get your temperature read. I'm feeling really uninterested in any Kardashian happening. And for me to say that,
that's big,
is something.
I did watch the whole last season. I'm basically only watching it to see like lifestyle porn and like shopping porn. Mm-hmm, like, I just want to see outfits, hairstyle, interior decor.
Right.
I don't care about anything beyond that. Like, Love and Light to Kim, I think the prison reform thing is cool, but I'm like, I do not tune in to Keeping Up with the Kardashians for any sort of thing related to like any sort of charitable endeavor. Like, I actively fast forward through those parts. So I just want clothes, like very surface level bullshit.
House, car.
House.
Party, travel, trip, sister fight.
Mm-hmm.
Same. I'm still always going to watch. I can't fathom a world where the show is airing and I'm not watching it, just because it's like a security blanket of sorts for me. But in the scammer conversation, I can't not talk about the Kardashians a bit. First and foremost, let's time travel back to 2022 when this story kind of popped off. So any Kardashian historian or loose Kardashian paying attentioner has probably seen these giveaway posts that they do, where it's like loads of bags of like Chanel and Louis Vuitton, and it's like basically you follow all these accounts that Scott Disick follows. So there's like 75 brands that Scott Disick follows. And then if you follow all of these brands, you then get, and then comment below on the post, you then get entered to win some sort of trip and all these bags, or who knows like what the thing is, but it's like a pretty substantial prize. So basically brands pay money to have Scott Disick follow them. And then it's a way, it's called the follower loop. They then get all of these people entering, following them, and then their follower count goes up. But then why do Kim and Khloe and whoever need to be involved with this? Because it ups the engagement on their posts. So if everybody who's entered comments, where they're normally getting like 10,000 comments below, they're then getting upwards of like 120,000 comments of everybody
Khloe
entering.
And Kim and everyone?
So then their quote goes up for when they're doing a sponsored post because of the engagement that they get for posts like this.
That's crazy.
And brands are paying, it's like $25,000 to have Scott Disick follow them and then be part of these giveaways. And if you do the math, that's like upwards of $1 million that is being generated. So the brands get like a quick boost that like really doesn't do anything, I'm sure, in terms of engagement and people actually looking at their profiles and engaging with their profiles, which to me, this is like a very like 2016 kind of way of hacking the Instagram system. But ultimately, these girls are able to then hold court with other brands based off of the engagement that they get from these. So that's the whole story behind these
sinister
posts. And they only are, and then they archive them after 48 hours.
Interesting. Wow.
But it's like, it's trashy.
It is really trashy.
And really gross.
I was just thinking like last night, actually, before I went to sleep, about like I was having like sleepy time galaxy brain where I'm like, you know, I'm thinking about Truman Capote's swans and like high society in New York and like who are the girlies in New York high society, how that is truly like the upper echelon of like you want to break through and like be accepted in those circles, I guess, if you're like a fellow wealthy person. But I was just thinking about like Lauren Santo Domingo, who's like one of the those society girls.
She has it girl.
She runs Moda Operandi and is just like the chicest person alive, maybe, would be a modern day swan. And I was just thinking like it's crazy because Kim Kardashian can make billions of dollars, be the most famous person in the world, but I think in those circles would still be considered trash. And I was also thinking like Ivanka Trump is the same way. And isn't it interesting that like Ivanka and Kim are so pally-wally now? And I was just remembering when Lauren Santo Domingo tweeted about how Ivanka had an abortion when they were in high school.
Oh, that's
and
right.
I was just like relishing in that moment of like
a little bedtime story.
Yeah, and I was just like thinking about that and I was like, damn, that's crazy. Like you really can't like earn your way into these like circles.
No, you can't. They are ironclad.
Yeah. And not that that's like a good thing or a bad thing. It just is what it is.
No, Kim went a different route. She went her own route. I'm not knocking it. She and the family have a particular hustle that unfortunately feeds into Trump's America. Like it's all the same shit. But that being said, another broad strokes concept of them being scammers is something I saw last night. There was this, well, I texted it to myself. So there is this bespoke cake decorator who was asked to design a cake for the Kai launch that's coming out or that came out. And they were like, can you put together a deck? She said, sure. She spent all this time putting together this gorgeous deck. These cakes are on another level. She's worked with all of these brands. So they're really beautiful custom art pieces, basically, that reflect the brand launch that it applies to. They're just really cool. And the Kai team got back to her and they were like, sorry, it's not in our budget. And then ended up having someone do like an exact, non-exact, like bootleg dupe of the cake that she had presented to them. Now, claiming that the cake's not in your budget when everybody knows what's in your bank account is not the vibe. Don't respond with that, first of all. Second of all, obviously, they thought that because it's Kylie Jenner, this woman would do the cake for free, which wasn't going to be the case because of the exposure. And if you think about it, I think that this entire Kardashian whatever has been built on their platforms and the fact that they have so many eyes on them and them just getting these things for free. Like, I don't think they pay for any of their parties. I don't, like, everybody, everything is just
a gift.
We'll give you exposure for in exchange for your services, which, listen, that is influencer culture 101. This is how this works. But at the same time, if you like really late night galaxy before you go to dreamland about it, it is not cute.
Also, it's one thing to just be like, it's not in our budget, and then figure out a different cake altogether. But it's quite another thing to be like, it's not in our budget, and then just knock off the cake after you've gotten like several examples of like what it looks like. Like, if you're gonna do that, you might as well, there needs to be like some sort of secondary level as like a creator or like an artisan selling your services where you say, here's another option. I don't do anything for you. You don't pay me anything. You knock off my work and just credit me. And then that's the exposure that I want.
Right?
Like, that's more equitable than just being like, no, and then knocking them off.
It's not cool. But it opens up this thought process of like, built on a scam.
Yeah. I think that Kendall kind of does a bit of a scam with her tequila marketing.
Say more.
So I pay a lot of attention to like what she wears. Like, I love her style and I just love like the pieces that she chooses. And mostly when I say that, I just love Danny Michelle's styling work. But I keep eyes on Kendall for what brand she's wearing, where she's wearing them. And that's also just interesting from like a perspective of like, if she's going to this type of event, what kind of thing is she wearing versus like when she's just out and about, like her day-to-day clothing, like what is the difference here? But she's been doing 818 college campus like activations. And I've just noticed that the clothes that she wears to these activations are clothes that she would she does not wear day to day, like brands that she doesn't wear, and purposefully sitting at a price point that's like very accessible to college students.
She's doing a Taylor Swift.
Yeah. And I don't like that. I find that to be incredibly disingenuous.
She's just being a relatable queen.
She's wearing like Calvin Klein jeans and like low top Converse. And I'm like, literally, I saw you wearing an $8,900 coat to like go get lunch the other day. So like, this isn't going to fucking fly.
A Calvin Klein spokesperson, though. So she probably got paid.
Yeah, but the Converse, I was like, I'm calling bullshit on this whole look.
I do think this college tour is a genius marketing move, though.
Well, yeah. Those are the only people that like binge drink anymore.
The epicenter of drinking, college campus, and then throw in like a mid-level celebrity. The sorority, the Greek system.
Mm-hmm.
Loves it. Can't get enough. They're going to drink your 8 bottle for the rest of time.
Yeah.
I love it. I think whoever came up with that it's an A+ for me.
Yeah. I'm just like, if you're going to wear the clothes, like, I see what you're doing here.
A big scam that's happened to a lot of my friends who are in the healing space.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure if anybody follows a tarot reader, a astrologer, a any type of person working in the light, let's say, this will happen to them. Someone will make a fake account, grab all their content, make it look really real, and then slide into their followers' DMs, offering them a reading with a direct PayPal link.
Oh, so they pretend to be them.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
And for a while, this was happening on a daily basis. Like, I was seeing my friends being like, someone's pretending to be me, or I would see it, or people, it would slide into my DMs. I think of, like, because I follow that sort of a lot of that sort of thing, I was witnessing it nonstop, and I was always just like, well, you know, you've made it.
Yeah.
But
like, a light impersonation is like a kind of fun thing.
Yeah.
It's a rite bit of passage.
Exactly.
When
but
you haven't forged your ID and like gotten in a car accident and you're now the victim of a lawsuit, it's fun.
Right. It's
but
gentle.
When they do, when they cross those lines, it becomes not fun anymore.
Exactly. But I was swindled a little bit when Laura and I love this woman on TikTok, Libra Carol Astrologer or Carol Star Astrologer, whatever her name is. And I saw that she followed Tunish. I got so excited. I sent you the screenshot, circled it, was like, yes, we're in. And then it was a scammer.
Damn.
But it was really just like my heightened hopes were then crushed. So it was just like a personal assault, really. But that I've seen happen a lot. So keep an eye out. It hasn't been happening that much, but Instagram was not doing anything. They were basically like, oh, sorry that happened to you, love and light. There's nothing we can do.
Evil company.
Meta.
There's another celebrity scam that's been happening on Instagram that got a friend of mine recently, where these deep fake videos of celebrities like doing giveaways of products, and you pay, like, you only pay for the shipping and it's like free products. Like, there was a deep fake video of Selena Gomez giving away Le Creuset like cookware, and that's what
got my friend.
Yeah, she was like, guys, I have to replace my debit card because I like paid for the shipping for this Le Creuset set. And I was like, that's a good one. Like, they got your ass.
Also, any Selena will know that she is an investor in the Always Pan. So why would she be late crusading?
Wow. Well, this clearly was targeting non-Selenators and kitchenistas.
Damn. Okay. This next one is really big. It's the one a lot of people are talking about right now. And it happened to our king, Andy Cohen, so much so that they stole so much money from him that he went on the Today Show and did a segment on this to warn other people.
How much money do we think that they stole? Hundreds of
thousands
of dollars?
I think it was six figures.
This is crazy to me that he got scammed in this way. Go on.
It is such a refined tactic at this point. Basically, you'll get a call from, it'll say the bank. It'll be like Chase Bank Fraud Protection, like shows up on your phone that matches a number. If you were to Google Chase Bank, it matches the number that comes up on the website. And then they'll say something to the tune of, we've detected fraud within your account. Did you make this purchase for $300 to Sephora? No, they're like making up things. Did you make this purchase to Home Depot for $25? No. Okay, looks like there's been some fraudulent action on your account. Not to worry. We're going to go ahead and send you a new card, blah, blah, blah. Then they'll say, we're going to send you, we just need to like verify some information. We're going to send you a link. Don't say the link out loud. They're like really adamant about not saying the link out loud, just trying to sort of like ingratiate you into feeling like they have your best interest at heart. And then you click the link. So what they've done is they're somehow infiltrating your bank system. So they're sending, that link is coming from your bank system, but it's opening.
It's them trying to log in.
Log in. So once you click the link, Andy says that something like came up on his phone that basically I think they ended up being able to like get into his phone from clicking the link. I'm not sure of the sophistication of what these links are doing, but something happens where either you click the link on your computer or through your phone and then they have access completely.
Why do they say don't say the link out loud?
I think it's just to make you feel like it's a safety measure, like a faux safety measure.
Hmm. That would flag with me. I'd be like, what? Why would I ever say a link out loud? I've never said a link out loud in my life.
And then, so then they then get the code that the link that the bank has sent you. They're now access to your bank and then they wipe out your full account. Like, and once the money's wired out, it is gone. There is nothing the bank can do.
That seems insane that in this day and age, like that's still something that happens where like money can just get transferred out and then you just can't figure out like where it went and how to get it back. Like that doesn't seem like now that we carry around little supercomputers in our pockets that should also be happening.
There's a lot of holes in the process of all of this. When it came to the pig butchering scam that was discussed on John Oliver, somebody who is the head of a bank got scammed and the entirety of the bank lost all their money.
This is like not right. This shouldn't be happening like this. This is, I think, why crypto or like blockchain is like a good thing, because I feel like it can help prevent this type of thing from happening.
Right. But then on the reverse side of it, when it comes to these scams, like the pig butchering scams,
like the truly secure,
they're like a big part of it will be, oh, I've made all this money in crypto. It'll come up in conversation and they're like, I can help you make money in crypto. And then there are these apps that they use that they're like, you start your own account. It has nothing to do with me. So they feel really safe. And they're like, oh, this is just someone who knows about crypto. And they're just giving me tips. How great. And then it ends up stealing from you.
I know, but really, this is a lesson in people to be cuntier and bitchier in your day-to-day life.
Absolutely.
You need to be like, no, you're not going to just like, you have to set a damn boundary. You cannot just be texting numbers back that say, hi, Kathy, can you design a formal suit for me for my
as
big charity
as
gala?
As hard as it is not to respond.
Just don't respond. You shouldn't respond to anyone. You should take a page out of my book and stop responding to anyone on text message and for days. And then days later, you can pop up. And that's how we all keep ourselves safe.
I love a boundary.
Yeah.
And I think, I mean, we all just need to like, don't click on a thing. I think one thing too that Andy said, he was really adamant about explaining what happened to him so that it wouldn't happen to anybody else, which I really appreciated. And he said the biggest thing is to like wait a beat, because oftentimes these callers, scammers, will lead with a sense of urgency. Like, there's been fraudulent charges. This needs to be handled immediately. We're sending you a link. So, and it's, he says, the biggest thing to do is wait and go into your bank. Because nothing is, you know, under a time limit, like under the gun like that. Especially if there's been fraudulent charges with your bank, like, it doesn't matter if you respond within the next 5 minutes or next 5 days, it will still get handled.
Yeah, and your card will, like, they if they suspect that, they'll just stop any activity.
Exactly. But a big thing is to go in person if you can to handle these things and don't do anything over the phone. But I think, like, a big point he made, which, you know, after I was reading all of these things, especially about the bank imposter scam with the calling, like, I called my parents. I was like, hey, you guys, we know not to handle any banking things over the phone. And they're like, yeah, totally, we got it, like, don't even worry about it. I was like, okay, good. But someone like Andy, who he's like on live television every day, he has his wits about him, he isn't somebody who you'd think would be like easily swindled. If that can happen to him, like these things are so sophisticated at this point that it is like, I think it's just like turn the phone off. We turn the phone off and we sign offline.
Click on nothing. Get a password encryption app so that you don't even like know your passwords to stuff.
Yeah.
I have a password encryption app that's like operates on face recognition and then just generates passwords and like will tell me if passwords have been breached or if I need to like update anything. And like they just create like super encrypted passwords for everything.
That's smart.
Spooky. And it costs money, but it's like it's worth it to be secure.
Yeah. Ugh. Dark.
Really dark.
An A plus dark hall.
It's scary out there. No clicks, please.
No clicks. Don't click on anything except our sponsor today in the show notes.
Yeah.
Click a link.
Click on them and use our promo codes.
Yeah. But dark hall, we'll hit something lighter next hall for sure. Stay safe out there.
Yeah, stay safe. And until next time,
stay niche.
Stay niche.
Too Niche is created and hosted by Laura Marie Shainhalls and me, Elizabeth Cott.
Today's episode was edited by AJ Mosley. If you love today's episode, please give us a 5-star A+ rating in Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast audio. And be sure to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. And be sure to smash the follow on Instagram and TikTok @this_is_too_niche.